comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be. I'm delighted to be here, and I'm delighted you're here. I'm here because you have a right to know, and I'm here because you matter. We have here at the Kevin Smith Show a members community, and it's there because you matter. You know, there's so much more going on and so much more that should go on in relation to the topics that we talk about, the issues that we address here on the show, so much more than can possibly happen while we're live on the air. And so the members community gives you the opportunity to discuss things with other people from around the world who are listening to the show and interested in these topics, and it gives you the opportunity to provide your perspective and to get other different perspectives in our forums, in our chat room. And by the way, this coming Saturday, is the date for our monthly chat, where I go into the chat room for a couple of hours and hang out, and I invite you to do the same thing. We do that on the first Saturday of each month. And so this will be the first Saturday of October, and I look forward to it. I hope you'll be there. But there's that, and you know, you get to watch the show. If you happen to miss watching the show, or you live in a time zone, you know, a lot of our listeners and members, they live in another time zone, and it's like, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning where they are right now. And so what they do is they get to watch this show that we're doing right now. It goes up online after we do it. And then they get to watch it at a convenient time for their time zone. So, and you know, there's the Video Galaxy. There's you get your own blog, your own friends page. You know, you can it's somewhat similar to Facebook, except none of all that, you know, spooks hanging out in our area like they do or are alleged to be doing. No, it's not alleged. They say they do it at Facebook. So, but you get your own friends page. You get your own photo album. It's really just a fantastic thing and a great community of people. But you have to be a member in order to get in the members community. In order to do that, it's really easy, and nobody but you can fix it so that you can get in there. And here's how you do it. You click where it says join. Now, it costs $7.50 a month. That comes out to the grand, immense total of 25 cents per day. That's it. That's all it costs. $7.50 a month, and you get to hang out with some of the coolest people on earth in the members community. And you want to do that because you are one of the coolest people on earth. All right, cool people, we'll be back after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight, We are going to do one of those sort of combination shows where I've got some pretty interesting things to throw on the table here for you. And then we're going to open the telephone lines. We'll talk about those things, or if you have another topic, we can talk about that. Even though I did not advertise that this is BYOT night, we'll do it that way. But I do want to get those couple of items on the table here before we open the phone lines. You know, I'm always a little bit baffled about the telephones. Always have been ever since we've been taking calls. Now, when we started this show started back when streaming on the internet was in its, it was not even an embryo yet. I mean, it was, the technology for streaming on the internet was dinosauric. And so the idea that, you know, you could also take live calls was just pretty out there. And so we haven't always been able to do that. As the technology improved, we stayed up with it, and we got to a point where we could take calls. But it's always baffled me because I have no idea why things happen the way they do. I can have a blockbuster, I mean just gangbuster, guest on. And open the phone lines, we get like two calls. And then I can have a guest on that is good, but, you know, not blockbuster information, but good information. And the phone lines just stay busy all night. And then, you know, the next night, one or two calls. So then I do a show where I don't open the phone lines after we have a string of nights where there's just, you know, very few calls. And so I say, well, you know, the heck with it. People don't want to call right now. We'll just do the show. I don't open the phone lines, and then I get a flood of email from people saying, well, I had a question, and you didn't open the phone lines. It's use it or lose it. That's the way it works. So we'll see how it goes, and we'll see if you use it or if you lose it again. It's up to you. You get the vote, and I honor it. We're going to throw a couple of things out there on the table. I do want to remind everybody that we publish a newsletter each week, and it's called The K-Files. If you're not subscribed, get over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. Just click where it says K-Files and subscribe, and then activate your subscription. You're going to get an email that has a link in it that you have to click to activate your subscription. That way we prevent any possibility of spamming people, okay? So anyway, do that, and then you won't be sitting in the dark. Last week, I did a show where I talked about, and I showed pictures for those who are members and who are watching the show. I showed you a picture that NASA had provided. It's a picture taken by the rover that's on Mars right now, the new rover, called Curiosity. Now, we're not going to be talking about Mars tonight. But I just want to reference that because when Curiosity first landed and it took a few pictures, NASA put those pictures out. I used their picture, put it on the screen, and I showed you what I said to me looked like engineering, looked like a roadway. It looked like there was a creek or very shallow river, and the roadway, apparently, if it were a roadway, would have had a bridge across this river. Now, it's dry. There's no water in it. But I said, that has the appearance of that. That's what it looks like. And then there were culverts in the levee right beside the riverbanks, which is what you would do to allow for some flooding of a normally rather shallow river or creek. And I said it looks like the bridge has collapsed, And this is just, you know, old, ancient engineering. That's what it looked like to me. And then NASA put this picture up last week, and they said that they were confirming that this was a picture right there where the Curiosity is. And this, in the first picture that I've been describing, that sort of winding creek or river bed comes right toward Curiosity. And so last week they put a picture up where Curiosity has the camera pointed at the ground, and they were confirming, they said, that this was a dried up creek or shallow river. Just exactly like what I said. Now, they didn't confirm that engineering, and I talked about that last week. I won't get into that tonight. But they confirmed exactly what I said. And the point is this, ladies and gentlemen. What you see with your eyes generally is exactly what's there. There can be optical illusions. There can be. And we've all experienced optical illusions in our lives. I mentioned in that show. We've all seen a mirage out on the horizon, especially in the very hot summertime, and the heat waves are coming up off of the pavement and or off of the sand if you're in the desert. And we've all seen these mirages out there. It looks like water, and it's not. But we recognize it as a mirage when we see it. Optical illusions can happen. However, most of the time, the vast, vast majority of the time, what you think you see, you are seeing. It is there most of the time. Those who listen to the show on a regular basis and those who listened last night heard me ask the guest last night, have you ever seen a Walmart? She said, yes. I said, have you ever seen a Walmart and mistaken it for a beach ball? And she kind of chuckled and said, no. Well, you'd do the same thing. What a ridiculous thing, right? When you see a Walmart, it's a Walmart. When you see a beach ball, it's a beach ball. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because we're going to take a look at some photographs, and I'll describe them for those of you who are listening. Of course, you could join, and then next time you'll be able to see when we talk about these things. But I'm going to be talking about and discussing some pretty anomalous things in some pictures that are official pictures, you know, NASA-type pictures. One of them is not NASA, it's SOHO. The other one is NASA itself, comes from NASA. But the point is that these are actual officially released photographs. We're going to be looking at some pretty anomalous stuff. And it's interesting to me. See, I know that most of the folks that I'm talking to are only sort of barely interested in this genre of information. You're sort of kind of at the edge of it. You got a little interest in it. But you think that the wise thing to do is to be ultra skeptical of everything. Now, if we're talking about, if we're using the word skeptical as being the opposite of believer, okay, that's cool. But see, nobody's asking you to believe anything. But then when you apply that ultra-skepticism to a spot where nobody's asking you to believe anything, what you've done is you've just shut your mind and decided to believe a lie. You've decided at that point to believe that a beach ball is a Walmart, when in fact, what your eyes see, they see. You may not be able to explain it. You may not be able to adequately even describe it. You may not be able to fully comprehend it, but you're seeing it, and if you see it, done deal. Now, I used the example last night. I'll use it again tonight because we have some new listeners. I've mentioned on this show before that I have seen, in fact, I have eaten bats that have a 6-foot wingspan. The first time I mentioned that on this show, I got email from people that, you know, it was sort of the gist of the email was, oh, come on now, Kevin. I mean, you know, you're asking us to believe the impossible. No, I assure you, it's not impossible. It's a reality, and you can even find pictures of them and videos of them on the Internet. You just haven't looked if you haven't seen them. You just haven't looked. It's not my fault. Now, don't get offended by this, because this is not an insult. But your ignorance is not my fault. Your lack of experiencing this is not my fault. Our lack of experience and our ignorance of many of these things that are out there doesn't mean that they're not there. If you're ignorant of, and that doesn't mean stupid, folks, it means a lack of information. But if you're ignorant of this species of bats that have a 6-foot wingspan, that doesn't mean they don't exist. It means you don't know about them. It has nothing to do with whether they're real or not. They're real. And the same thing is true when we look at these amazing photographs from NASA and other agencies, when we get them from other agencies. The fact that we're ignorant of those things doesn't mean they don't exist. But some people feel compelled to look and see a wall, they see a Walmart, but feel compelled to explain it as a camel, or a beach ball, or a surfboard. And the fact is that that practice is really stupid. It's insanity. When you see things with your eyes, 90 to 99% of the time, it is exactly what you saw. It's not something else. However, the debunkers come along and they want you to be convinced that when we are talking about these anomalies on the moon, on Mars, on Venus, around the sun, wherever they are, they want you to be convinced that your eyes are wrong 100% of the time. And to buy that line from them is stupidity. All right. Without further ado, let me get into something that's been going on now for about a year. I haven't talked about this. Let me put it this way. I haven't done a show about this. It has been talked about when people have called in and asked about it. I've commented on it, and it's been something where I've just sort of been waiting to see what developments there would be. In July of last year, the SOHO satellite, is a satellite system that's up in space that is looking at the sun. That's all it does. It looks at the sun. And it's got all kinds of cameras and instruments on it. And you'll see some SOHO pictures where they're blue, like the one that I've got up on the screen right now. You'll see some that are red. You'll see some that are green. You'll see some that appear to be natural color. But it's all from the same satellite. And the various cameras have various filters, and that's why you see what you see. That's why you see the colors you see. What's on the screen right now is an object that appeared in a SOHO satellite picture, actually in several pictures, in July of 2011. Now, this particular object looks like a gigantic cube. So some of you automatically now, if you're listening, you either you say, oh yeah, I've seen that, or you're saying, it just can't be. Okay, go check out the bats with a 6-foot wingspan, then come back and tell me this can't be. You didn't know about the bats with a 6-foot wingspan? Then, hey, they exist. So go check that out, and once you're not ignorant of that anymore, come back and look at this and say that doesn't exist. The problem is not whether it exists or not, and the problem is not whether we're going to say that looks like a cube. It looks like a big, gigantic, huge box. And there it is, right up close to the sun. And that's not the problem. It has that appearance. Your eyes see that it has that appearance. The question is, what the heck is that? Is that some anomaly in the photograph? Now, it can happen. These are digital photographs, and so digital stuff can get a little static in it, and it can, you know, do weird stuff, produce weird effects. It happens. So the question is, not is it there? Yeah, it's there. I see it. Don't you see it? Don't be dumb about this. I mean, this does, ignorance, okay. Stupid, look, ignorance can be fixed with information. Stupid, well, that's forever. So don't be stupid about this. Yeah, it's there. I see it. You see it. Everybody sees it. Question, what is it? Well, in that same photograph, if we zoom in a little bit closer, I mean, we can see that it looks like a gigantic big cube out there next to the sun. We zoom in just a little bit closer here. And what happens, actually, we've taken in more of the SOHO satellite here, more of its image. And we can see that down to the right at an angle from this cube, there's something else. Well, what the heck is that? Well, we got some more stuff to look at in this SOHO picture, but we'll do that when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about more NASA anomalies. And this is certainly an anomalous photograph that we have under discussion, and that is this big cube out there next to the sun. I am aware of the fact, folks, that there have been a number of radio shows that have already dealt with this. I've been following this for a year, more than a year. I am aware that there are a lot of blogs that have been written, a lot of opinions have been stated, a lot of skepticism has been expressed, a lot of belief has been expressed, and none of that matters. Zero. Your belief against this or for it is of zero value. Zero. Because our belief about this thing, what it is, and so forth, has nothing at all to do, has no bearing on the reality of what is it. It is what it is, whatever it is. And our speculations about it and our beliefs about it have zero value. They're interesting to talk about. But let's say you decide, well, I just believe it's not there. Well, if it is there, it does, that doesn't make it go away. Well, I believe this is an alien spacecraft. Well, if it's not, your belief that it's an alien spacecraft doesn't turn it into one. Say, our belief doesn't have any effect at all on reality. So the question is, what is it really? What's the reality of that? It really is in that picture. But what is it? Some people have stated that this is, it's just a flaw in the camera, and that the evidence is that there are other flaws in this same picture. So when we zoom in, we can see, well, there is something else over there nearer the sun. And it looks pretty complex. It's not just a box. It's an array of things. That looks like a massive space station. But I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm just talking about the general shape of it. And that really caught my attention. But if we look in the far lower right corner of the total picture, we see some more of these anomalies. There are actually 1, 2, 3, 4 that I can see, maybe 5. One of them really looks like an object that's reflecting light. But the problem that we have with this, the problem I've got with it, is the light is from the left side, and the left side of that anomaly is dark. So that, to me, makes me think this might actually be just some junk artifacts of the photography. Right next to it, it's the one that looks like a barrel. So you have one on the in the left corner, you've got one in the middle, and it's got a little thing on the side of it that looks like a checkerboard, and then you got one in the upper right. Okay, the one in the middle. You see, it's dark on the left side, and that's where the sunlight is. And it's bright on the right side, away from the sun. That's backwards. And then there's that little checkerboard next to it. And that little checkerboard obviously is a problem in the photograph. But here's the problem. Take a good look at these, and those who are listening, go over to the internet and find this. It's July 23rd, 2011, SOHO satellite. All right, the problem is that big cube doesn't have any similarity of the appearance of these other things. It does have a problem, but I'll discuss that problem in just a moment. You see, it looks quite different from these other anomalies. Very different. It looks like a real cube. We can see two sides of it, and it comes to a sharp corner. I'm going to tell you what I think is a possibility in just a moment, but let's talk about it as being a real object that's out there next to the sun. It may be. So let's talk about it in that light, and then I will talk about it in the light of it being an anomaly that is caused, an artifact that is caused in this particular photograph, caused by the camera. Could be either one. All right, so let's talk about it being a real object. We can see one side of it is very bright. The other side of it is dark. And there's a straight line down the middle that gives us the appearance, because one side is light, one side is dark, gives it the appearance of being the corner of this big box, this big cube out there next to the sun. It does not look like the other anomaly that's in this photograph. The other anomaly that's in this photograph looks kind of faded away out there. And the other anomalies way over on the other side of Soho's photograph kind of look like photographic artifacts to me. I mean, maybe you don't think so, but that's kind of how they look to me. So back to the big box. Is it possible that that is real, that it's big and that it's out there, that it's a huge cube out there around the sun? There's some evidence that it may be. But let's talk about what evidence there is that this may be an anomaly, an artifact in the photograph itself, instead of being a real object. So what evidence is there for that? Well, once again, we see that the right side of this thing is facing toward the sun, and it's the dark side. Should be the light side. However, it's at an angle. If it were facing dead on to the sun, we would only see one side of it. It's at an angle. So, it is possible that if this is made of shiny material, as it appears to be, that because of the angle of the camera, we are seeing a reflection of what's in space out beyond, at an angle, out beyond the cube. The same way as if you look into a mirror at an angle. You don't see exactly the same thing as you would see if you stood right in front of the mirror and looked. You look at an angle, you get a wider field of view. You see what's out beyond it at an angle. So that's a possibility. That may be why that side looks darker than the other side. That's if it's real. Now, if it's actually an artifact in this photograph, what's interesting is that it could be just a very large artifact that is similar to this checkerboard artifact that we see over here on this other picture. If we zoomed in on that checkerboard, would we not see a dark side and a light side? And in fact, there's two of them. There's two darks, two lights. It's like two levels of it. So the one on top is, the left side is dark, the right side is light. The one on the bottom is the other way around. Left side is white or light, and the right side is dark. So is it not possible that when we look at this thing that looks like a big cube, we're looking at a zoomed-in, close-up version of one of those checkerboards, and that it may actually be just an artifact in this photograph? Well, yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And for those who are skeptical and who apply skepticism in the blank where you put belief, where nobody's asking you to believe anything and there's actually no blank, so you're applying it to just the investigation itself, what you're doing is saying, I'm not buying anything but an explanation that explains this away. Look, let's don't play games about this. I know what you're up to, and you need to admit it to yourself. That's what you're up to. But you see, there is a problem. There's a problem with that. And the problem is, that's not the only picture of it. Here we are in October of 2012, and last month there was another picture. This one taken with a red filter. It's more than a year separated from the first picture. More than a year. And here's this big cube out there again. But this time, we're only seeing one side of it. Now, because of the red filter on the lens, everything we see is tinted red. This time, this big cube is tinted red. If this were just an anomaly, let me restate that. If this were just an artifact in the picture, in that picture, conditions change, and so that equipment has different, the camera equipment has different artifacts that show up from time to time because the conditions are changing out there all the time. We really should not see this artifact a year later, should we? We really should not be looking at this artifact a year later. Because there are pictures before this where it's not there. There are pictures after this where it's not there. And then here we are a year, more than a year, down the road, and we get a picture of it again. And there have been some other pictures of it in the intervening time. Is it just an artifact in the photograph? Now, I cannot prove that it's not an artifact in the photograph. What I would say is that doesn't seem very logical. You may think, well, it seems logical to explain this away. No, it doesn't. What's logical is to try and explain what it is in reality. That's what's logical. It doesn't seem logical to me to try to explain it away as being an artifact of that photograph, because the only way it could keep showing up, and it shows up in different positions around the sun, the only way it can keep showing up is for it to really be there. Now, if you had permanent damage to the camera, then we would see this artifact in every picture that camera takes. It's not permanent damage, because we have pictures after this without that. All right, we have to take a break, and that is, of course, the logical thing to do, so we will. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about this photograph. Two photographs. One taken in July of 2011 by Soho, showing what appears to be a gigantic, and I mean gigantic, cube. Not exactly a cube, but yeah, like a box. Up there next to the sun. And then more than a year later, September of 2012, another picture showing it, and in between there have been pictures that show this very anomalous feature. My question is not, is it there in these pictures? Yeah, it's there. I mean, I can see it. You can see it. Everybody can see it. Your dog can see this. The question is that a real object or an artifact in the photography? It doesn't make sense. I followed this now for over a year. I mean, since this first came out, I've been following this. I've been watching this. I've been thinking about this. And it makes no sense to me that that's an artifact in the photograph. Are there artifacts in this photograph? I think there are. I've shown you those. I've talked about them. I've described them for those of you who are listening. Yes, I think there are some artifacts in this photograph. Do I think that cube is one? It doesn't make sense that that would be an artifact in the photograph, because it goes away and then the same thing shows up again in other photographs. And then it goes away. It's not in the, you know, there's intervening photographs where it's not there. And then it shows up again. And here we are, more than a year after this photograph, this one that was taken in 2011, more than a year later, we have a photograph where it's there again. Or if it's not that one, it's something else very like it. There it is. If it's not that identical thing, it's another thing very, very like it. And it's in this photograph. So it doesn't make sense to me to describe what we're seeing as just an artifact in the photography, a flaw in the photography. If it was just one picture, okay. Or even several pictures on the same day, okay, could be an artifact. But as I say, it goes away, which artifacts tend to do. But when it shows back up, it shows up in a different position, sometimes with a different camera, and it still has the same features. It keeps appearing in the photographs. So, you know, can I say I know what it is? No. I can say that to me it does not make sense. It's not logical to just throw this out and say that's an artifact in the photographs. I've read that. When I say I've followed this for a year, it doesn't mean I heard about it a year ago and then I heard about it again yesterday and so I decided to throw it into the show. When I say I've been following this, actually more than a year. When that first came out, I started following what was being said about it. I've read all the explanations. I've read, you know, there probably a million different explanations trying to explain it away. And then a million other comments where somebody is saying, well, you know, you're just a debunker and you're just, you know, you just can't bring yourself to believe that this is really an alien spacecraft. See, even if that's a real object out there, you don't know that's alien spacecraft. It could be ours. You don't know what it is. But I think the evidence is pretty strong that that's a photograph of something that is actually there. And to our minds, it shouldn't be. That's why it's an anomaly. I think the evidence is strong that that's not an artifact. Now, is it possible that it really is an artifact? Yeah. I don't see how. You know, it's possible that I wake up in the morning and find out I've got $1 million in my bank, too. Anything's possible. It's not very likely. And I don't think it's very likely that that's just an artifact. All right. Boy, I'll tell you, I spent more time on that than I planned to. But I needed to explain why I don't think that's an artifact. I think there are artifacts in the photograph, and I've shown you some. I could be wrong about that. That might be another quote, spaceship out there. I don't know. I think it's an artifact. It looks like an artifact to me. But that box does not look like an artifact to me, and especially when we couple it with the fact that it keeps reappearing, and it's sometimes on a different camera, and it's not in the same place. So this is not a flaw in the camera. It's moving. All right. Let's talk about a NASA anomaly on the moon. Now, for those of you who are listening and not watching, You can see the picture of this NASA anomaly. And that's NASA anomaly. Not mass anomaly. NASA anomaly. You can see the picture of it on my website. Just go over to my website. Scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. And that is... what's in that picture is what we are going to talk about. The problem is that the titling on that picture does cover up part of what we're going to talk about. And so you really need to be watching this. But we are going to talk about that. And we are going to begin right now. And we're going to begin right now by me saying, on our moon... there, I know the telephone number's up there, but the phones are not open yet, so don't call it yet. On our moon, there are beaucoup anomalies. Not just weird geological formations. There are some of those. But there are buildings on the moon. And I can say that without hesitation because I have seen them. And so has everybody else that watches this show. You've seen them with your own eyes. There are places where there's gigantic machinery, and you've seen that. I don't look at them and say, well, that can't be buildings because it's on the moon. So therefore, that must be surfboards. I don't engage in stupidity. I see a Walmart, I know it's a Walmart. I see a beach ball, I know it's a beach ball. And I see things on the moon that I don't know the purpose of those buildings, but I can see the buildings, and sometimes quite clearly. Sometimes I see something that looks like some type of machinery. Big, huge machinery. I don't know the purpose of that machinery, but I can see it. If you've watched Jose Escamilla's film called Celestial, if you haven't, kick yourself four times in the rear and watch it after the show tonight. It's on YouTube. It's called Celestial. And you will see a statue. Not something that kind of might be a statue. It's a statue. And it has a humanoid shape. You'll see it. And the measurement, you'll see in the movie how he comes to the estimate of its height. And he estimates its height to be around 6 miles high. Well, then people say, yeah, that can't be. Nobody could build something 6 miles high. Not on Earth you couldn't because of our gravity. Not on Earth. And all of your experience, all, is right here on this planet. But could it not be done somewhere else where the gravity is not anywhere near as great as it is here? That statue's there. Your mind says it can't be. That's the moon. Well, your mind is wrong about that if your eyes are seeing it. Your mind is trying to convince you that your eyes are lying. We'll be back with a picture from the moon right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour, and my very, very most sincere wishes and hopes that you never encounter that tragedy again. We're talking about NASA anomalies, And we've talked about this big cube that appears in photographs from the SOHO satellite. It's up near the sun. And we've been talking about whether it's an artifact or of the photography or whether it's actually an object that's there in the photograph. If it was just one photograph, of course, we could easily say that's just an artifact. However, it's not just one photograph. And here we are more than a year later, and the cameras are still catching it, showing up near the sun. So it's not logical to me to say it's an artifact. But we're moving on now to the moon, and then we're going to open up the telephone lines. In January, I believe, January of this year, we, is that right? No, just a few weeks ago, I believe. The Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter shot a picture that shows something pretty weird on the backside of the moon. This is near the, it's up near the north side of the moon, the northern pole of the moon, but it's on the backside. We never see this side except with satellites. Now, those who are watching will see that the coordinates are there, the longitude and latitude, so you can find this yourself for those of you who do such things. So we've provided the location for you to go look at this yourself. But the point is this. That is something that it does not have the appearance of geology, especially if we zoom in on that, and when we do, it looks constructed. It's big. It's right at the Desmoisses crater. There are two of those craters. It's right there next to the one that's on the right. Two of them named Desmoisses. One is named Desmoisses T, and the other one, I believe, is named Desmoisses S. I think that's correct. But the two craters are right next to each other, and this is setting right on the edge of one of those craters. For those who are listening, imagine, do you know what a mortar round looks like? If you don't, get on the internet and find it. Some mortar rounds sort of have a bulbous end. Or I'll tell you what that kind of looks like. Remember the old stick matches? You know, you had a wooden stick and on the end of it was the match head. Remember those? Okay. Now, if you had one of those and just below the match head, you cut it off. Just below the match head, so most of the stick is gone. Well, this thing is shaped sort of like that. But it's 9.3 miles long. 9.3 miles long. It's pretty big. It's almost 600 yards wide. And it appears to be constructed. Now, for those of you who are watching, notice that just below the match head's on the left, the remnant of the stick is on the right. Notice that just below that match head, it appears that there is something around it, attaching it to this other object that's nearer us, and the other object nearer us looks like it's in motion. And I can't really begin to describe it. It's almost the same length, maybe the same length, as the match head shaped object. Notice that under the right side, the side where I said would be where the stick of the match head, the remnant of the stick, is. Notice that right under it, right under its chin, if you will, there's a support that's propping it up. Do you see that? Actually 9.32 miles from end to end. It's setting on what appears to be a constructed base that's very dark, so we don't see much detail, but it appears to be smooth surfaces. I don't know what that is. I have no idea. Some of you are engineers, and or you work with technology in some way, and you may have an idea of what we're looking at. I don't think that we're looking at geology here. I do think we're looking at something constructed, and it looks like some kind of machinery or factory or something like that. I mean, it doesn't look like an office building. It looks like something constructed for doing some kind of work. But what kind of work? Who knows? It is on the backside of the moon and up near the northern regions of the backside of the moon. And you may be asking yourself, well, now, how can people go search this out? You gave them the longitude and the latitude, and I'll put that back on the screen for those who are watching. How can they search it out? Well, you have to use the Clementine viewer, because a Clementine mission photographed everything on the moon. Okay? It photographed absolutely everything. And so you use that, and there are overlays with the new photography. Well, this is the new photography. All right, what we're going to do is open the telephone lines and invite you to join. We'll see if you do. It's a use it or lose it. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. We can talk about these photographs, or we can talk about these NASA anomalies, or we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 623-444-5889, whatever you want to talk about within our genre. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent.
I'll talk about I lost my audio and video feeds separately, so I'm going on what I saw earlier.
Okay.
With that first anomaly in the blue.
Yeah.
If you zoom in on it, the sides have a pattern on them.
Okay.
So they're not regular digital anomalies. I'm leaning towards something is there and took a picture of it. Because if you look in the side of the shadow, it's got a pattern. And the other side has a slight pattern at the bottom.
And what does the pattern look like? Describe the pattern.
What?
Describe the pattern. What does it look like?
I don't know how to describe it. It's just like there's some light and some darks in in that side. So it wouldn't be a regular blocky pattern that you would have if it was just a digital anomaly.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards there's something out there.
What do you think it is?
The reason why the side facing away from the sun is shiny and the side facing toward the sun is in shadow, it's possible, and this is just a possibility, that the technology they're using for invisibility with some tanks here on Earth is being used to cloak that thing, whatever it is.
So do you think it's ours?
I don't. Too big, I think.
Mm-hmm. There's also the possibility that those sides are very, very shiny, and that because of our camera angle and the angle of that box, we're seeing a reflection of what's in space out beyond the sun to the back.
Yeah, that's another possibility. Now, I'm going to go back to Gerald Epling for a second.
Okay.
If Gerald is listening, I have an experiment for you. If you can record in a time sequence as to when, how your plants react to you thinking about them. Go off at a distance and target, specifically target thinking about one plant in one way or another, and then go back and record, go back and look at the recording and see what happens. The reason for this experiment is if it works and the plant does react to it, to your thoughts to it at that time, you could be tapping into the very beginnings of some research on instantaneous communication through consciousness, through the energy of consciousness.
Okay. If he's listening, I'm sure that he's noted that, and he'll either decide to do it or not. I bet he's listening.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, Brent?
Yep. No, that's it.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889 is the number to use if you wish to call in and participate in tonight's show, and I hope that you do. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use that telephone number. If you're outside of the USA or Canada, you may use that number, but you may also use an additional option we have for those who are outside the USA and outside of Canada. It's called a flash message. And go to my website and scroll down, and you will see the picture about tonight's show, and right above it is the link that says flash message. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hello, Steve.
The Soho photographs that you showed, those are very interesting to me. And the fact that the large cube object appears to be darker facing the sun and shinier away from the sun tells me that, they've got a fabric. There is a fabric on that object that is in receiver mode. You know, the same way if you step outside wearing black clothing doesn't reflect any of the sun's rays. It just absorbs them. And, but if you had a mirror up, it would reflect them. And I think that whatever technology those things are up there, that they can alter, probably alter the makeup of the surface of the object according to whatever purpose they want the surface to serve. You know, if they've gone up there to absorb the sun's rays, or, you know, maybe the sun is a filling station for them, and all they have to do is park in the region close to the sun, and they can absorb the energy, then that part facing the sun would appear dark to us, because it's not going to reflect any of the sun's rays back. It's just going to absorb whatever they need from the sun, and the backside might seem shiny, you know, because they don't need to absorb from that direction. And and the other objects that seem kind of broken up and cubical, I think something's happening on that surface of whatever object it is that the Soho cameras, the lens or whatever mechanism is inside, that's the best it can do to interpret what's happening there. You know, and my imagination almost sees a face on that thing that's just down from the big cube. The other objects, you know, that's obviously, that's energy going on, energy exchange, energy transmutation. That's some energy events, energetic events that our technology is very limited in what we can receive and how we can receive it, you know. So that's just the best we can do. You know, we have absolutely no idea what those things are doing. I certainly don't, but it's obviously some kind of an energy exchange, you know, and they're huge. You know, they're planet-sized, so I don't think it's, quote, ours, unquote, you know. By ours, I mean something created by any technology or agency that we know of on this planet, you know.
So you think it is alien? You think it's alien technology?
Yeah, I would have to say it's alien technology. You know, alien to anything we know about, anyway.
Do you think it's even possible that these are artifacts in the photography?
Well, the only way I would call it an artifact, I mean, first of all, I totally believe that it's something real, it's something up there. The only thing artifact about it would be the energy is so intense that it's producing an artifact effect on the Soho screen because it can't really pick up what's actually happening. You know, so Brent touched on it when he talked about the cloaking technology that we have on that we can put on almost anything or anyone now. You know, there's just something going on there that we can't see, and the result is it appears artifacty, but that's only because our visual pickup ability is so limited that that's all we can see. And I'd like to say something else, Kevin, about
Sure.
the mentality that goes into what we're doing here tonight as we engage with this stuff versus the debunkers or the people who sit on the sidelines and snipe away at it. You know, when you look at a bunch of little kids going out onto a playground or, you know, stepping out into a park, let's say a whole bunch of little kids pile off a bus into a park, there's going to be a group of those little kids that are just so excited, and everything they see is just a fresh possibility, and they just can't wait to get into things and get under things and on top of things. And if you see something disappearing under a rock, you know, there's a bunch of those guys and little girls maybe that are going to go out there and turn over that rock to see what that was. They're going to be poking at it, and they're just going to explore and be so excited. And then you're going to see a bunch of those little kids that'll just go find their way to a swing set and not even swing. Or they'll find a merry-go-round and not even go round and round on it. And they're going to sit there and they're going to point out at those little kids that are so excited and getting into everything, and they're going to talk about how silly they are. You know, oh, look at those kids. You know, what's the matter with them? You know, but their lives are so dull and gray. And, Kevin, we are those little kids that were excited and grew up. And we never lost that excitement.
And we're still turning over the rocks.
Possibility in life. You know, and every day is a new opportunity for exploring things that we don't even know. But it's just out there waiting for us. You know, and the people sitting on the sidelines, sniping away, the debunkers, you know, they're the ones who stayed in the shadows, who stayed dull and gray, and they got nothing better to do with their time than to point their fingers at the kids that are all excited and involved. You know, and I just hate it for their Prozac-fueled lives, you know, that's all they've got to do. And that's why I'm so grateful, Kevin, for the show that you have and the things that you present us with every night. You know, this is good stuff, Kevin, and I want to urge all the people that are out there in the audience, get up off that doggone swing set and come look under this rock.
Yeah.
You know, this is some amazing stuff out here.
It is.
And with that, Kevin, I'll open up, I'll get off the line and let some of those people get involved.
All right, Steve, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. I appreciate you.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Looks like we have a couple of flash messages that have come in. We'll take care of those in a minute or two. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, it's Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Jerome.
Boy, I always hate to follow Steve because he's a hard act to follow.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. Steve is Steve, Jerome's Jerome, and now we're talking to Jerome, so it's cool, whatever it is.
Okay, getting back to that thing on the back of the moon,
mm-hmm.
You said it looked like a match head on an abbreviated matchstick.
Yeah, sort of. It's sort of shaped like a match head to the left with a little bit of the stick to the right.
I don't see that. What I see is the part that you're referring to as the match head. It looks to me like that's just the crater behind it.
Well, it's not. And the reason that you can know that it's not is when I zoom out. When I zoom out, you can see that's standing against a rock.
Boy, you know, I understand, you know, I know a Walmart when I see a Walmart, but to me it still looks like a crater, even with the distant picture. It does appear to be a structure to the side of it where you said something's holding it up, but it appears to be like a building, and then in the background, a crater.
Well, a crater would have to be laying on the ground with a hole to the top. If that's a hole, it's in the side of a rock, a big rock wall.
Well, the
hole is not facing the sky, if that's a crater. The hole is facing you.
That's correct, but I see a bunch of other holes, a bunch of other craters, and they're not all facing straight up.
No, but they're not facing you either. There, you can see, for instance, to the left. You see holes in the rocks to the left in the big.
Yes.
Okay, and they are facing up at an angle to the right, the same angle as the rock.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say this. One other thing is, whenever we have a piece of equipment or something, it always seems to be a complex. I mean, if you take a nuclear power plant, you have several different pieces. In fact, even on that Tycho crater, there appeared to be a complex. And this even if what you're saying is true about the match head, it appears to be just one individual unit.
It does, and it's out there by itself.
I find that interesting.
Mm-hmm. But let me give you one more reason to think that's not a crater.
Okay.
Two reasons. If you're looking at the screen, we're going to run out of time. We'll have a break. Can you hang on through the break?
Sure, I can.
All right. First of all, there's this thing on the side facing us that's blurry, that looks like some kind of constructed machinery. You see that?
Yes, I do.
It extends to the left beyond, further than that area I'm calling the match head. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
All right. Do you see that the match head is light on one side and dark down the center?
Yes, I do.
Okay. That cannot be the shadow of this machine on this side of it. Because this machine extends to the left beyond the match head, and the shadow, if it were a shadow, would also have to extend. And it doesn't.
I see an awful lot of pictures.
Hang on to that thought. We'll get it. Okay. We'll get it right after this. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. So, don't go away.
Florida, and you are listening to the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. Healing medicine for the mind.
You don't know why.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the telephone with me is Jerome from Pennsylvania. Jerome, got a question for you before I let you continue here. Why did you make that squeal during that break?
I don't know.
All right, man. Don't do that again, okay?
I didn't think it was me.
It wasn't. Play along with me here. I'm an old guy. You got to humor me.
You startled me, Kevin.
Okay. Look, first of all, before you continue, I want to make it clear that I am not saying you're wrong. I'm describing why I see what I see here. Okay, but then you see something else, and so go ahead and describe what you see.
Okay, what I see is a lot of pixelation that is in front of a crater, and it looks like this piece of machinery, I'm going to call it, is supported on the right side, like you said, where the matchstick would be. But I see no difference between the match head and other craters beside it.
All right, take a look at the matchstick. Do you see that it's in three layers?
Yes.
And how do you account for that?
The only reason I'm saying it's three layers is because I see a bunch of pixelation.
Okay. I don't, but I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't, my eyes don't see that.
But irregardless of whether the crater is a crater or a match head or something, there's definitely something there.
Well, we've been talking about this machinery on this side of it, closest to us. It's pretty obvious to me that that is some kind of machinery. It is constructed. It's not a crater. And you may be correct. It may be operating somehow over the edge and into what you're calling a crater. That's a possibility. But my eyes don't interpret it that way, but it could be that. However, the pixelation that you're talking about on the right side of the part that I call the matchstick. So we have, it steps down in three steps on the end. Mm-hmm. We have the same type of definition in sort of the mid area of that machine where we have the lines. And that doesn't look pixelated. It's blurred, and it's blurred because it appears to me to be moving.
Well, it's definitely something anomalous. And I'll end this with just saying that I agree with Steve. I mean, that these on the SOHO pictures, anything that can get that close to the sun and not burn up is not earthly technology.
Well, it's a weird picture, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very weird. All right, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
We have a flash message here from Kevin in Ireland, apparently in reference to these SOHO pictures of the cube thing up next to the sun. He says, "It's easy, Kev. They are them Chinese lanterns." Well, maybe. Who knows? And then he says, "Who was that guy that was on your show last year talking about the spaceships near the sun?" That guy was James Horak. And what he was talking about, I think, are even bigger than this. But he was talking about them and referring to them as EMVs. And let's see, that's electromagnetic vehicles, EMVs. And yeah, he's very interesting on that. A lot of people, you know, I get a lot of email when James is on, James Horak. People say, by the way, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Don't let those phones dry up, folks. It's use it or lose it. Let's talk about this. This is if that's really up there around the sun, this is important. And it's something nobody in officialdom is talking about. So let's do what we can while we have freedom of speech, a little bit of it, to talk about it. But every time James Horak is on, I get email afterward. He's always very interesting. It's always very, very controversial. in terms of, you know, I get email where people say, man, that guy is way off his rocker, and, you know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And, of course, they don't provide any proof for that, but that's their opinion. I get other people who say, man, I don't know whether I think he's right or wrong, but he's just one of the most fascinating guests you ever have. Please have him again. I get other people who say, James Horak is the only one that will tell the truth about what's going on near the sun. So it's the full gamut, it's a full spectrum every time Mr. Horak is my guest. And I like it. I like it. You know, I'm not sure what I think about some of the things that he says, although I have met him personally. I have visited with him for several days. And as far as I know, he has not said anything to me that was untrue. There are some things that he said I have no way of proving whether they're true or not true, but the things that I can test and verify, he's been very truthful with me, and so it's pretty amazing stuff. I'm like you, though, when I hear it, and I say, well, phew, man, I don't know about this. This is, you know. But now, he told me about, so this is not about James Horak, this show, but I've got to tell you. He told me some things on shows before and in private conversations before I ever visited with him that my mind said, I don't know. But you know me, I don't disbelieve. Disbelief is a belief on the negative side. I don't believe. I don't disbelieve. I know. Or I don't know. But it made me raise an eyebrow or two, and when I visited with him, I got to see some of the things that he was talking about that, by golly, he was right. I saw it too. And he offered, folks, he offered to take me out to a place where I could see Mothmen after midnight one night, and I said, oh, no. I've had enough reality here. I don't want an encounter with Mothmen. He said, they're real. And there's a place where they have been seen on numerous occasions, and I have seen them there, and I'll take you there. I said, no, that's okay. So I didn't go. I chickened out, and I'm admitting it right here on international radio. I chickened out. I don't want to meet a Mothman face to face. But these NASA anomalies just keep coming up. Things that are there, we know they are there. We don't know exactly what they are. We can look at them and say, well, that's not geological. That's not natural. That's constructed. We don't know exactly what it is, what its purpose is, who built it, when it was built. We don't know those things, but we can look at it and tell it's not a beach ball. Kind of like this thing we're looking at tonight. And NASA doesn't talk to us about it. And when someone like me points it out, they generally will come back with some kind of nonsense answer. And explanation, you know, so nonsensical a third grader can see through it. But most of the time, they just don't comment on this stuff at all. Most of the time. Are you aware of the fact that nobody knew there was a face on Mars? Nobody out in the general public knew about the face on Mars until a tabloid published that the tabloid claimed it was the face of Jesus. I mean, you expect the tabloid is going to, you know, twist and turn stuff a little bit and kind of sensationalize. And they did. But the first inkling that the general population ever had that there was a face on Mars was a tabloid. It wasn't NASA. NASA had the picture. And their picture in their file was labeled the face. Looked like a face to them, too. They didn't tell you about it. And that's the way this normally happens. There are all of these anomalies all over the moon. And NASA doesn't talk about it. They didn't tell you. NASA did not tell you about that statue, which you can clearly see in their photographs. They've never talked about that. They don't talk to you about the translucent domes, where you can sort of see through it and there's structures under those domes on the moon. They didn't tell you that. Jose Escamilla told you about the statue and those domes and showed you the pictures. NASA didn't tell you that the moon is not silver gray. It's mostly brown. And yet they took full color photographs, which were not stored at NASA. They were stored at the USGS. They didn't tell you that. Jose Escamilla did. And through this show, I mean, it was, we presented all of that on this show with Jose Escamilla. But the point is this. I don't hate NASA. I would like for NASA to be what it was. I would like for them to be the NASA that got sold to us. Oh, it's the civilian space agency of the United States, and we're all about discovery and, you know, and educating people. And no, they may be about discovery, but they're about making sure you don't know all of these anomalies exist. They do their best to make sure you don't know. Whenever they do a color photograph, for instance, of Mars, haven't you noticed? They do a color photograph of Mars, and what do you get? You get red. Red, red. Red sky. Crimson red dirt. Well, there's no red sky on Mars. I mean, if there's a huge dust storm, then the sky would be red with dust, as it is out in Arizona. And I've been through some of those when I lived out there. But the sky is not red on a clear day. On Mars, it's blue, just like it is here. But then they didn't tell us this. You know what happened? When the opportunity... Now, as far back as the Viking, there were color photographs of that blue sky. But it was sort of oops, and nobody talked about it. But when the Opportunity and the Spirit rovers landed on Mars, and it was sending back live photographs, and there was a press conference... There was a live photograph up on the screen of a blue sky on Mars. And the press commented on that. And they were amazed. That's the first time the general public ever knew. NASA doesn't tell. Perfect girlfriend. She kisses and never tells. All right. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and our discussion of NASA anomalies. This is a flash message from Ross. We're on final approach, by the way, so, I mean, if you're going to call, you got to do it because you're running out of time. Ross in Scotland, and he says, hi, Kevin, referring to tonight's moon photo. It looks to me like some sort of skittle-shaped building or ship that is sitting by a pool of liquid with its reflection showing. You can also see the reflection of the lunar hills on the left of the building, reflection. It also appears that a crude pixelation mask has been applied over the building, and its reflection, if you compare it to the clarity of the rest of the photo, and especially to the lunar hill reflection in the pool of liquid. That's how I see things anyway. All right, let's take a look at that. And let me see if I can see that. Yeah, I can see that. It's pretty interesting. One of the reasons that this thing that I described as being sort of shaped like a match head, one of the reasons I don't think that's a crater, and I'm not sure, perhaps it is a pool of liquid, but look at the top of it. There's a pattern, a shape, sitting on the top that's lighter than all the rest of it. There's actually structure up on the top of that. And so, you know, it looks to me like that's a rounded match head thing. But I can see what you're talking about, Ross. You know, maybe that's the case. Maybe this is a pool of liquid. Maybe this is a big pump station for a big pool of water that's out there. I don't know. Water on the moon? You bet there is. And not only that, they say there's no atmosphere, and yet from Earth, astronomers have observed and photographed clouds on the moon. Not clouds between here and the moon, but clouds on the moon. Yep. And if you got clouds, you got atmosphere, and you've got water. So I don't think there's big rivers and lakes and oceans and stuff. I'm not contending for that. But there, yes, it's been verified even by NASA that there is water on the moon. Water is everywhere. It's all over the universe. It seems to be really one of the most plentiful commodities in our solar system and perhaps in the galaxy. But the moon, certainly, like Mars, is not what we have been led to believe. That's the point. See, these NASA anomalies would not be anomalies if they were upfront and just said, okay, well, look what we found. You know, this is a building. This is some type of factory. This is some type of machinery. If they just talked about it and were open about it, but they don't. That's what makes it a NASA anomaly. I was talking about Mars, and, you know, things on Mars are not like what we've been told. Their own data proves it. They just keep slipping up, and they slip up, and a little more data slips out. And their own data proves they've not been telling the truth in the official story about Mars. And the same thing is true with the moon. Now, if we've got neighbors on the moon, I mean, somebody built this stuff. What do you think it just happened? I mean, spontaneous generation, spontaneous construction out of nothing? No, somebody did it, and whoever the somebody is, if they're still there, and I bet they are, that means we've got neighbors right next door. Why are we being kept from that knowledge? What is it that what benefit is there in our governments, plural, here on Earth, what benefit is it to them to keep us ignorant of the fact we have neighbors next door? It's a mystery to me. I don't know what benefit there would be. I do understand it has to do with their grip on power. How is it? Look, when my older kids were little, we moved into a house, a very nice house, but it was in a subdivision that had not yet been developed. There were only like maybe, I don't know, four or five houses in this subdivision. And there were trees and woods and everything all around us. It didn't last long because houses began to be built, and rapidly this became a regular subdivision. When we moved in, there was nobody living on one side of us there. And then some people moved in. Young man and his wife moved in next door to us. The fact that somebody moved in next door did not make me less the daddy at my house. I'm still in control at my house. I was the daddy. So how does knowing that we have neighbors next door on the moon, how does that make our government any less in control of us? They're still going to be in control. How does that affect that? I say that's the mystery. I don't understand that. It did not lessen my authority in my home when someone moved in next door. That's their home. They have the authority there in their home. I had the authority in my home. Well, me and my wife. And so this kind of thinking just doesn't make sense to me. It's not logical thinking. And so a government that acts illogically is a government that has gone insane. Don't you agree? And I think this is a touch of insanity for the governments to keep this information from us. Information for which there is very ample, very credible evidence. It makes no sense. And yet, it has been the hardline policy of my government, the government here in my country, and the governments of many, many other countries for 60 years or longer. It's been the hardline policy to deny and lie about extraterrestrial reality. That is a touch of insanity. But they have the power, you see, to say you're insane. They have the power to declare that because I said they are lying, then they can say I'm suffering from some mental disorder, and they can lock me up, like they did the young man who posted stuff on his Facebook. Thank God there was a judge who said, that's nonsense, let this guy go. And he said that the authorities violated the Constitution, and they let him go. But it can be done, because they have the power. It's a touch of insanity to deny reality. All right, that's going to do it for this evening. That's a wrap. And I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. We've got more great shows coming, and hope you're here for all of them. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.